Welcome to the Watch Night service at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is December 31st, 1985, the last day of the year, with Brother R.T. Barker preaching, the Gardeners singing, and also the Dick Bowers family singing. We hope this service tonight will be a real uplift in your life as you listen. God bless you.
Tom says he's not doing anything but play tonight. Said he's got a cold.
Lord,
started to sing this song, and I supposed to sing one verse, and I started on the wrong verse. I'll look at the music this time so I'll know where to go. Standing on the solid rock.
Through my gates of light night, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm the rock of ages, safe from every storm. Storm of storm that rages, free from every storm. Storm from Satan.
Time enough to preach or not. We're going to sing all the time. Next song is Come Morning. Sing this tonight. I believe it's on somebody.
Well, there's two, three of
two. RT said we had to sing this too, by the way. The world's greatest story.
The world's greatest story.
Thank you.
we're certainly happy tonight to have Brother R.T. Barker with us to give us the message at this time. His father-in-law and mother-in-law are here from Chicago, and would you all stand, please, with your grandson? God bless you all. Brother R.T., you come and preach for us, and when he gets through, we'll have an invitation to him and go from there. God bless you, Brother R.T.
It's a joy to be with you tonight. Appreciate the invitation of coming and enjoy the garden air singing. I just regret I can't stay to hear Brother Dick and Leah and the family sing. I know they're tremendous musicians, and I wish I could be here all night, you know, to enjoy that and the good fellowship downstairs and the film. But we're having a watch night service down at Davidson from 9 till 12. And so we'll have to shoot back right after our service here, get back down to Davidson for hours there, okay? And also, when you have children, most of you, I guess, are familiar. Some of you have already got them raised, and others are raising them right now. We left Jennifer and Teresa down at home, and Teresa's been kind of nauseated, so she's been vomiting some. And so she called my mother out here, and my mother called, and Myrna told me to tell Joyce to call home, you know. So Joyce is going to check on Teresa there to see how she's doing. And so they may have to sneak out and go right on back. We brought two and left two, so you never know what's going to happen next when you got four little ones around the house, right? Good to be here again, too. We love them dearly. Good to see each of you here at Airport Gardens. This is home to me, and I love and appreciate this church and what you're doing here. All right, I'm going to try not to waste a lot of time rattling and just get right into the message and preach. And just trust that the Lord will speak to your heart tonight from His Word, all right? Shall we bow together in a word of prayer, then we'll look in Scripture. Shall we pray? Father, thank You for this night. Thank You, Lord, that this is 1985 out and soon to be 1986. And Father, we just pray that if it's Your will that this would be the year Your Son would come. Lord, we pray that should He tarry, each of us who are saved would be faithful to the calling that You've called us to do. Lord, that You'd use us in whatever capacity You see fit. Thank You for this church and its ministry. And Lord, we pray tonight that Your hand of blessing would rest upon this service and this watch night meeting. And Father, especially if there are those here who are lost, that they might come to know Christ as Savior. And Father, for those who are with us and maybe with a burdened heart tonight, we pray that they'd cast all their care upon You, knowing that You care for them. I pray, Lord, You control this little mind and heart and tongue. May words flow from it from heaven and be a blessing to this church and this people tonight. We love You and praise You for all that You mean to us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, would you turn to Luke chapter 2? We'll begin there. If you don't have your Bible, just try to follow along and listen. And my message, Lord willing, will go about 20 or 25 minutes. Unless you get excited and I get carried away, it might be here at 11. But that's a rare chance of that. Luke chapter 2. I'd like to share with you just some thoughts from several passages of Scripture. So if you have your Bible handy, you might be wanting to be prepared to turn from one chapter to another. If I had a title for my message tonight, I think I'd call it this, The Biggest Disappointment of Christmas. Now think about that for a minute. The Biggest Disappointment of Christmas. Okay? I don't know. You know, 6 days ago, we all celebrated Christmas, didn't we? And of course, we're on the other side of it now looking back. But you know, before Christmas comes, we all make the preparations. We go to the stores, we buy the gifts, we make our Christmas list, we shop the Sears catalog and all of that. We have all of our expectations built up. But do we experience letdowns after Christmas? You know, maybe you had a... You know? Or maybe you had a T-bone steak on your Christmas list, you wound up getting a little piece of ham. Or, you know, maybe the kids. With four little children, you know, I deal with the kids a lot. Maybe you wanted a Cabbage Patch Kid. And you got up and went and looked under that Christmas tree instead of a Cabbage Patch Kid there. Lo and behold, you found a marshmallow. You know? Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe someone's disappointed tonight. You didn't get what you wanted. And sometimes with children, man, I know my little girls, they'll put down sometimes 10 or 12 things. And if you don't get at least 90%, which is 9 or 10 of them, you're in trouble. They're disappointed. Instead of smiling on Christmas, you know, they're frowning. Disappointments. Well, I'm exaggerating a little bit. You know, our kids, I think, were happy with Christmas. It's the greatest disappointment of all. Let's go back 2,000 years ago and think about Luke chapter 2. Think about that. But there he is, the little Christ child. He is Christmas. Without him, there is no Christmas. But there she's holding him. She loves him. She caresses him. Baby Jesus. Think about that stable in Bethlehem. But let's go out to the Judean hillsides for a moment. Think about them. Remember them? They're there for Caesar taking the flock by night. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, note now, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel said, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And if that's not enough, we read on. War tonight. And yet 2,000 years ago, the angels chanted, glory to God in no poverty, no sickness, virtually no death. It will be a time when Christ will reign in justice. We don't have that today in our society, do we? Justice. He will reign in judgment. It will be, if you please, utopia on earth. It's the kingdom age, the golden age of peace and happiness. Man's life expectancy today is 70 or 80 years. In the kingdom age, it will be 1,000 years. Think of that. What a glorious day. Many Old Testament writers spoke of that coming kingdom age, that time of glory on earth, a time of peace. Isaiah spoke of it in chapter 9, 6 and 7. Look what he says. In verse 6, he gives five titles to Jesus Christ. And then he talks about the government resting upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus. Look in verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He says in 6 of Isaiah 9, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Is that true tonight? No, indeed. Okay? We move on. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Note those titles. Jesus Christ the King, the Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, etc. Look in verse 7. Of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. What's Isaiah writing about? A time when the government of the world would rest upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ. A time when Christ would be Counselor, Wonderful, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He mentions there in verse 7 words like judgment, justice, peace, throne, kingdom. And yet, my friend, tonight we've gone through some, I don't know how many, Christmases, you know. And yet that time of peace on earth, goodwill to men, has not come. The biggest disappointment of all Christmases is that long-promised and long-waited-for kingdom age of peace and prosperity and heaven on earth has not come. It's not arrived. Look in chapter 11 of Isaiah, just a few more verses. Look in verse 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's verse 1 of Isaiah 11. Look in verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, that is Christ, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. This is speaking of the coming King, this branch, this root, you see. And notice the attributes that he'll possess. Understanding, wisdom, counsel, might. All of those things. Isaiah 11 talks about that kingdom age. Glorious age of peace on this planet. Look in verse 6. Tonight if you put the wolf and the lamb together, you'll have war. Or if you put a cow with a bear, the bear's going to devour the cow, right? And I certainly don't like to see my children play around with snakes, much less poisonous ones. Why? Because poisonous snakes will bite and maybe even kill little children. But you know, in the kingdom age, what's going to happen? Perfect peace among people, among nations, among the animals. All right? Look at it in verse 6 of Isaiah 11. He says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion, the fatling, all together. A little child will lead them." Can you imagine a little child leading a lion? And then in verse 7, "And the cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw." Notice the lion. He's a flesh eater today, isn't he? But he's going in that day to eat what? Straw like an ox. "And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den." Verse 9 is a wonderful verse. Look at it. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain." Why? "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." What's Isaiah writing about? A glorious age of peace and prosperity in this world, with no sickness, virtually no death, no poverty, all those problems of society gone and dispelled. And Jesus Christ reigning on the throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. But my friend, the biggest disappointment of all Christmases is this. Old Testament prophets predicted it and spoke of it and said, "It's coming, it's coming." The angels from heaven told those shepherds on the hillside, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to men." And yet the Christmases have come and gone, and come and gone, and come and gone, and we've not yet experienced this glorious kingdom age. It's a disappointment. My friend, I say tonight that this old world will never find peace at Geneva peace tables and talks and all of that. And we'll not find peace in this old world with our conferences and our negotiations and all of that. Peace will only come to this world when this world accepts the Prince of Peace. And that will only come after Armageddon and after the tribulation period, the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 6 and let's move on. The 6th chapter of Matthew are some verses very familiar to all of us. Matthew chapter 6. Remember the model prayer? The Lord Jesus here is at least 30 years old plus. And that kingdom age, that glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill to men, had not come. The Lord Jesus here is in His public ministry. He gathers together His disciples, and He's going to teach them to pray. Remember? It's the model prayer. Without looking, do you remember the very first petition? The very first request? Jesus teaching the disciples, the first thing to ask for. What is it? Here it goes. Remember, we recite it oft times. It goes like this. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Here it goes. "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Remember? Look at those verses in Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. Just stand them there for a moment. Okay? We've already looked at them. Verse 9. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Here's the petition. "Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. On earth as it is in heaven." And my friend, listen. For some 2,000 years, people have been reciting that prayer. Okay? In churches, sometimes they'll just stand and recite it together. Sometimes it might be the Lions Club or the Kiwanis. Sometimes parents teach their children how to pray. And it'll be just reciting the Lord's Prayer. And I say to just about everybody here tonight, you can quote the Lord's Prayer, can't you? I'll never forget when I used to play basketball on some of those teams, you know. Before a ball game, of all times and places, in the locker room, we're dressed, ankles taped and all that, ready to go on the floor for the warm-ups. And we'd get together in a circle, ball players. You know what we do? Recite the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And you know, we, like many others around the world, didn't even think or know what was talking about. Just reciting it. So some pray that prayer in sincerity. Some maybe just like a parrot, just repeating it. What happens to a prayer like that? Is it just going to the ceiling, bouncing off, and it's all gone? Wonder what goes on. When Jesus prayed the prayer, is it that God has said to the Lord Jesus, "No, Not going to do it. Not going to answer that prayer. Or did he say yes and send the kingdom? No. Or did he say, wait a while? What's the answer? Our Lord said, and perhaps he was on his knees here, I don't know, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom come. Thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Think about it. Well, my friend, I suggest this. We'll look at it a minute in Revelation. I believe pretty firmly that when we pray prayers, God has any one of three answers. He will say yes and grant it immediately. He will say no, flat out refusal. You don't need it. Or He will say, wait a little while. For the wait a little whiles to break the seals. And it appears was worthy. That's right. Nobody. Why? Maybe I was a pretty good Christian, good preacher, etc., missionary, you know. I'm worthy to open the book, break the seals. No, Billy Graham didn't. Not behold, when he had taken the book, that's to worship the Lamb, okay? Worship the harp, psalms. But look what else they've got. In the other hand, they have a golden vial. That's a bowl. What's in the bowl? What is it? It says full of odors, but then John gives us a little more. He says in the vial, these odors are the prayers of the saints. Look in verse 8, last phrase. Having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. He's in heaven. And those around the world, down through the centuries, who have prayed it. Two things before that kingdom can come on earth. This long on top of judgment, on top of judgment. The tribulation period. Right now. The kingdom come. Thy will done. On this earth as it is in heaven. Yes, and those that gather me. Right? And notice what he says. When the earth is purged, the prayers of the saints are what? Answered. Taken care of. Because they're in the bowls that the elders have. And then what happens? Christ establishes this long-awaited kingdom on this present earth. He's accepted after Armageddon. Okay? You might have had serious illness this year. Surgery. Appointments are shattered when we know Christ as. But let's stand. Service back to Brother James. Just joy being with you tonight. We love all of you. Wish we could stay longer, but we need to get back to Grapevine. Be in prayer for us. We appreciate that, okay? And may God bless you richly. Brother James.
We are glad tonight to have the tonight. God bless you.
Almost caught me off guard here. I got inspired with listening to the gardeners a while ago, and just kind of like the Chuck Wagon Gang all over again. Wasn't it, Condra? Didn't that kind of put you in the mind of the Chuck Wagon Gang? And we have a little group at Little Carr Bible Church that we call the Faithful Few, a musical group. Bonnie plays with us and on the violin, and Condred Hall here plays the mandolin. Yeah, we'll do a couple of them right now, Condred. Sorry about all that noise up here a while ago. I'm still not sure what was causing that. But I thought I might get Connor to do a beautiful Star of Bethlehem since this is still Christmas season. I reckon we could call it Christmas season up until midnight, couldn't we? Up until the new year. Can you see that all right, Connor? Yes, Silver. What key do we do that in? G? All right. Yeah, let me swap places with you, okay? I'll do a little better, I think. I won't have to worry about hitting Conrad in the nose with my guitar neck if I stand over here. Star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Oh, beautiful star. Oh. why you're here. I don't know if I'm up to the same pitch. I picked up a different guitar than the one we tuned to a while ago.
Yeah.
Let me just get that other one. Maybe it'll do a little bit better. I'd say that one needs a new set of strings, too. Just that. I wouldn't doubt but what the Gardeners haven't done this song at some time or another. Until Then is the name of it, written by Stuart Hamlin. I remember watching Stuart Hamlin on Watch Night Services TV. They were televised when I was a child from the Cathedral of Tomorrow in Akron, Ohio. Rex Humbard, some of you heard him, I'm sure. I used to watch them late on New Year's, or maybe they'd just do it the next day. I don't remember. But Stuart Hamlin would sing on there. And this is one of the songs that he wrote, Until Then. My heart can sing when I pause to remember. Okay, key of C. That'll do it a lot better. My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache.
They come.